As long as you're okay. Okay, so Rav David Kronglass was the Mashkiach in Neir Yisrael in Baltimore. He was an Alter Mir.
He was a former friend.
He was an Alter Mir who had escaped during the war. I have a sefer in my office downstairs called the Divrei David, from Rav David Kronglass, and he writes in the Hakdama there. It's all on Zeraim, in the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. So he said, when we were on the run during the war, he said, I felt that my learning wasn't going to be able to maintain its level if I didn't take on a major project. So I took upon myself, I said, I don't really know Seder Zeraim well enough, so I'm going to work on Zeraim. And he said, and here are the fruits of my labor. He printed a whole sefer, a huge sefer of Chidushei Torah and Sugyos in Seder Zeraim. But he's very honest. He writes in the Akdam. He says, I started learning, and I learned Peya, and Baruch Hashem, it went well, and then I learned Domai. He said, when I got to Kalayim, I found it to be very difficult. And he says, I wasn't Matzliach in my learning. So if you ever started learning Mishnayos from the beginning, you're like, Brachos, no problem, Peya, doing fine, you know, and you start to get into the harder sections of Kalayim, you should know that there are very great people who, as he writes, Nasisi Maseches Kalayim below Olabiyadi. I tried at Kalayim and it didn't go. But anyways, he was a very holy Jew. He was from Kobrin originally, and he was orphaned at a young age. But he has a certain writing style that you'll see right away. It's very sweet. It reads kind of like a Sichas Musar, you know, from Chaim Shmulevitz. And I want to just do a couple sections of the things that I was mentioning yesterday. Okay, so let's just go from the beginning. It moves quickly. It's not heavy in the way that he writes. And let's begin. Okay, the Maimer is called Tidkoscha Kahari El Mishpatecha Tohom Rabba. And the point, I want to use this as like a meditation, not in some mountaintop meditation kind of way, but in a way of thinking about Schar and Onesh, which we don't think about so much. Especially those of us who are more inclined to learning Sifri Chassidus, there's a very great danger when you learn and you tap into the love of the Baal Shem Tov, the Talmidov, there's a huge danger that you become, you know, kind of laid back with regard to your Hashem, because at the end of the day, Hashem loves me, and it's true. That's not apologetics. Lo yidach mimenu nidach. Hashem is going to make sure that every Jew is going to make it. But we can't close our eyes, like we said earlier this week. You can't close your eyes to the tochacha. You can't close your eyes to the reality that there's schar and there's onesh. And onesh can be very significant and very real, whatever it means. So let's read. When we think deeply about the mishpat of Hashem, hein b'schar, hein b'onesh, anu roim davar nifla ma'od, we see a wondrous thing. That the halacha, that's the point, we want to get to the halacha. But to better understand the halacha, before we can open up the Shulchan Aruch and learn Kuftan Zayin and Kuft Tzadi Hei, like we're going to learn today, and we're going to see that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the Shulchan Aruch's psak, the psak on the books, in Kuft Tzadi Hei, in Hilchos Nida, in the laws of Harchakos, on the separation between a husband and a wife. In Bala Rofe, Osir Lamashish La Hadofek. If your wife is a Nida and you're a doctor, you're not allowed to what? You're not allowed to take her pulse. That's the halacha on the books in the Shulchan Aruch. You can't take your wife's pulse. Again, we'll have to see what the Shach says about that. Is that Derechiba? The Shach taught us yesterday that there's something called Derechiba, not Derechiba. But the Rav Yosef Cairo paskins on the books that if your wife needs medical treatment, you're the doctor. You can't take her pulse. Why? Because she's a nida. So we're not doing anything. Yeah, but we learned that maybe the same way that Gilei Arayos is Yarag Valyavor. So maybe what? Maybe anything tangentially related to that. Right? What is? He hasn't quoted anything yet. All he's told us is we need to think about the wondrous nature of Schar and Onesh.
When do we, pass ourselves? When do we use them?
It's also a good question, right? Do we have all of these harchakos? Do we have all of these additional harchakos between husband and wife because of their intimate relationship?
Well, on the side, they're allowed to be in yichud together where other...
That's correct. We allow yichud, but we don't allow a husband to pass his wife, pass her the salt hand to hand when she's a nida, which is a very strange thing. Right? It's a very strange thing. It's sometimes very confusing. I've heard young married people say Like when, if a woman, let's say, passes, you know, like she gets used to not passing to her husband, so when she passes anything to another man, it seems like very weird. It could be like to her, you know, to her brother or brother-in-law or to her father, but like, you know, it seems like I'm not allowed to pass things hand to hand. Right? And that's only true to her husband. She could pass the shul, shake her hand to hand to another man. She can hand something to another man when she's in need. That's only her husband. It's a restriction that's unique to the husband and wife because of the intimate nature of the relationship.
Why
does that conflict? Okay, so let's see if we can. It's not really our topic, but we can maybe come to some conclusion about that also. Godel v'ribuy haschar al kol ma'ase tov bein kaved bein kal. We need to think. We need to be people who think. You know, we're used to, when we're kids, we're told like mitzvos are like, you know, candy. It's like points, right? And that excites us. Then you get a little older, right? And hopefully you mature to a point where you realize it's much more than that. But then sometimes you become cynical. You become almost cynical, like we're not playing the point system anymore. So we stop caring as much about every little point or every little strike against us, and we stop realizing that a mitzvah is a huge deal. And the veer is a huge deal. And we can't become cynical, oh, what's the difference? You know, who cares? There's so many mitzvahs anyways, and I'm going to do a veeros anyways. So, but to really care about every little mitzvah. Bein kaved, bein kal, bein gadol, bein katan, hu mamish l'ein shir v'tachlis. It's beyond anything we could ever imagine. Ha'osa mitzvah achas ketikuna yesh lo chelek l'olam haba. The Rambam writes at the end of Meseches Makos and his Perash HaMishnah, that if you do one mitzvah right in your lifetime, perfect, that could be Olam Haba. I mean, you could live forever off of one real mitzvah. One perfect mitzvah could carry you for a lifetime. He quotes another Chazal. Ve'ein lecha kol mitzvah u'mitzvah shebetorah shematan tzchar betzida she'ein tchias ha'mesim tliyabah. There is no mitzvah in the Torah whose reward is not significant enough to create tchias ha'mesim. To use the energy and the koch of a mitzvah to revive the dead. Harisha ba'avur mitzvah achas, af hakala shaven, even the smallest mitzvah. Zocha kvar lo amhaba t'chias ha'mesim. Milvad halaman yitav l'chab olam haze, in addition to the quality of life you're going to have in this world. Ba'adavar kal ka'anias amen, you know what one amen is worth? I had a good amen yesh mirabba this week. The other day I went to the 4 o'clock mincha, one floor down. I wasn't able to make it to the 2:30 that day. And something, I don't know what clicked, but something clicked and I was like, I'm going to say Amen Yesh Mirabba to this Kaddish, like really good. And I did. And I feel it still, I can feel it. I can feel that Amen Yesh Mirabba. I put my energy into it. It's one Amen Yesh Mirabba, it's you know, there's dozens of Amen Yesh Mirabba throughout the day. But I went for it, I captured that mitzvah. And I felt it. One Amen, you know what one Amen is worth? Poschen lo shari Gan Eden. They opened the gates of Gan Eden for a person who has one Amen. For an Amen yesh me rabba b'chol kocho, korin lo gzar dinar u'mochlin lo al avon avod azara. There can be a gzar din hanging over your head, some terrible decree, and one Amen yesh me rabba can rip it to shreds. If you say it b'chol kocho. Gemara in Shabbos, kuf yutes. Ba'ad teva achas b'torah, for one word of Torah. We know what it says, what the Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary to Peya. V'talmud Torah k'neged kula means that one word of Torah is k'neged kula. That means one word of Torah is as valuable and more valuable than all the other mitzvahs combined. V'har be'kiyotzibon. There's many statements of Chazal. And Chazal are not. Chazal would be irresponsible for them to just say these things just to encourage us, to coach us along. These are the experts. The same way a doctor who gives an opinion about his medical knowledge speaks precisely, right? The doctor doesn't give you the medicine and says, like, you know, take a couple of these. Like, well, how many pills a day? Like, whatever, just take a bunch. A bunch? What does that mean, a bunch? It says on the bottle, take one in the morning, take two in the evening, make sure you take food with it. You don't speak off the cuff when you're talking about life matters. This is life and death. Chazal are not just throwing out some nice ideas to encourage us. They're telling us this is mitzvahs. One word of Torah, one mitzvah, one Amen Yesh Mirabba, it's a huge deal. Second paragraph. We're going to skip around. I'm going to get through it quickly. This is not only if you actively do a mitzvah, even refraining from doing something negative. Even the positive that you create passively carries tremendous schar. For example, he quotes from the Igeres HaGra, the famous letter of the Gra, which the Chafetz Chaim quotes in Shmiras HaLeh. It's good for this week's Parsha, Tazvia Mitzora. Chavetz Chaim quotes it in his Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. Al kol rega v'rega she'adam choseim piv. For every second that a person is choseim piv, what does chosem mean? What's lo sachson in the Torah? To muzzle. For every moment that a person muzzles his mouth, who guards his mouth, who has something witty to say and doesn't say it, zochel or aganus she'ein kol malach u'briya yachol l'sha'er, you are rewarded with an organus, a spiritual light that a malach and no creature can begin to understand. The Chavetz Chaim is medayik in this quote from the Gro, which is based on an early medrash. And the Chavetz Chaim says it doesn't say a day, it doesn't say an hour, it doesn't even say a minute. For a second, for 1 second, you hold your tongue. If you bite your tongue, you say, I'm not going to say that nasty comment. Right? Life will go on. You know how big a reward you're going to get for that 1 second? It's beyond anything we can imagine. No rahadavar, ba'ad rega echad schar mavil kazeh. For a single second, such a huge reward. V'lo od af bedavar kal ma'od, she'ein bo tzad yetzer, even for easy things. What's the end of Maseches Makos? No? If you get reward for not drinking blood, which you have no desire to do, it's disgusting. Haporesh mimeno. Right? Zochalo. If you refrain from something you're not interested in, it's a lifetime of reward, and for you and your future generations. So gezel v'arayos, theft, arayos, things that a person has a taiva and a chemda for, if you separate for them, can you imagine how great the reward is? And the answer is no, you can't. It's beyond anything we can imagine. Bottom paragraph. V'chein le'idach yisa, so too in the other direction. Godal ha'onesh bo'olam hazeh. Let's talk about punishments. This is even harder for us to wrap our heads around, because we love to look the other way at this point. We love to assume that everyone is speaking allegorically or in exaggerated fashion, and Hashem loves us and everything's going to be fine. But there's consequences for our actions. We learned it this morning in the Or HaChaim. The guy who got tzaras and says, nah, it's just some skin disease. No, it's not. It's real tzaras. And that happens to a person who does averos. So he says, look what he writes in the bottom paragraph. V'chein li'idach yisa. First page. Goda ha'onesh bo'olam hazeh v'riboy ha'yisurin b'gehenim hu ayom nora u'mavil mod. It's very frightening. The thought of Gehenna, the thought of punishment, is a frightening thing. Look where it's underlined. Halo yadua maimer haramban. The Ramban is a famous line in his Hakdama to his commentary on Iyov. You ready for this? We should be scared. We're probably not, because we're so desensitized. But it should shake us. A Jew of Yerush Shemayim shakes from such a line. Look what the Ramban says. Shekol Yisurei Iyov lo yaspiko afilu ba'ad hachet hakal. You read the story of Job. You know the story of Iyov? Everything that Iyov went through in his lifetime. His whole world being destroyed. His family being destroyed. His finances being wrecked. His physical suffering. All of that is not enough to pay off a single aveira. The smallest aveira comes with a price tag in terms of a penalty that's bigger than all of these surim of Iyov. Azai zok the Ramban. It's heavy stuff. Says the Igaris Hagra, shall call dibor shall hevel, for a word of hevel, for a foolish word, a person needs to have his neshama flung from one end of the world to the other.
The Gro says that?
And Rav David Krangel, that's right here, he says he doesn't say Lashon Hara. He's not talking about if he said Leitzanis, Chanufa, Sheker, Nivopeh. It's just a word that didn't need to be said. Your neshama's going to have to answer for that. Because speech is life itself. Hashem says, do you think life is so cheap? You can just throw it around like that. Now again, you read a piece like this and you have to absorb it in a healthy way. Right? This is obviously heavy, but there's going to be a positive side as well. Okay? And he says, and that's why this piece is called Tidchoscha Kahare Kel Mishpatechat Om Rava. Hashem, your justice is like a mountain, like a huge mountain. And your mishpat goes to great depths. We have to accept reality. Mitzvos matter and averos matter. Turn the page. He quotes, on the next page, in Os Beis, he quotes from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And he quotes 2 points from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. We're gonna learn one of them because we don't have time for both. We're gonna learn one of his 2 points. But we're gonna learn the Ian one of his 2 points, the one that I mentioned yesterday. But let's first learn the 2 points in a general sense, and then we'll be ma'ayin into the second one. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you see in the middle of the page, in the Or Yisrael, in Simen Ches, in the eighth letter of the Or Yisrael, it says the following, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's letters. Noda ki amitzvos na'arachos neged sarkium. First of all, we know that the value of a mitzvah is in accordance with the effort it takes to do it. So a person who's born into a family where everyone does Torah and mitzvahs, and it's easier for that person to get on the Torah and mitzvahs train, will not get as big a reward as the person who had to fight against the family that was anti-religious. And this person chose with great Mesiras Nefesh to become an Orthodox Jew. Yes, there's a reality called Lefum Tzara Agra. He quotes it here in the second line. Lefum Tzara Agra, the last Mishnah Pirkei Avos. In accordance with the Tzar is the Agra, is the reward. In accordance with the pain is the reward. Okay? Oh, so that's a good question. Excellent question. Right? Sometimes we say the tefillah of the Tzadik ben Tzadik is better than the Tzadik ben Rasha. That's why Yitzchak was answered and Rivka wasn't. That's Rashi and Chumash. Okay? And yes, on some level, the person who lived a perfect life of Torah and Mitzvot is on a higher level. But on the other side of the coin, the other hand, we know that the place that a Baal Tshuva stands is greater than the place of a tzaddik. That's the Gemara in Brachos. So again, they're both true. They're both true. How we explain how they're both true is a good question, but they're both true. And the answer is, the simple answer, whenever I say something is both true, it means that there's truth to both of them, right? Meaning there's an advantage to living a life of a pure tzaddik, and there's an advantage of living a life of struggle and coming to overcome some of that rishus to become a tzaddik. They're two different paths, and they're both the better path. Okay, so Hashem will help you figure out what your path is, and whatever it is, you'll realize you're on the best possible path, for real. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, yes, we know that mitzvos are evaluated based on what? Based on their effort. V'lizos lefamim ha'odim osa mitzvah achas b'shtei itim, v'yesh b'neim hefresh kama alafim b'chinos. You can perform the same mitzvah on two different occasions, and guess what? Totally different mitzvah. Because one time it came to you very easily. Maybe getting up for davening in yeshiva was easy, and getting up for davening when you're in YU was hard. Or maybe the opposite. Ah, beautiful. But it's Yeshiva University, so it's not just yeshiva. Maybe when you were only in yeshiva, but you're 100% right. I correct my words. It's called the Ayani Mazkirayom. Right, so maybe yeshiva versus Ben Azman. Okay, but the point is, there's times when I could do the same mitzvah, and it's so easy for me to be strong in this mitzvah, and there's times when it's so hard for me to be strong in this particular area. And there's a huge difference between them. Kafi v'china sarkim, I'm in accordance with what? In accordance with the difficulty of fulfilling it. V'chein ba'averos, kol asher tigdal ha'koshi v'atzar lifo shemena yuktan ha'onesh. The harder it is to avoid doing this avera, if you did give in and did the avera, it'll be a less of a punishment. If you did an avera that you really should have, a battle you really should have won, your penalty is going to be much more severe. Because Hashem says to you, you should have won that battle. I don't have to go easy on you in terms of punishing you. You should have won that battle. V'chol asher tifchas ha'koshi v'atzar yugdal ha'onesh. And again, the easier it is, the greater the punishment is going to be. And he says, that's what the Gemara talks about, where the Gemara says, greater is the punishment for white than tcheles. It's easier, it's cheaper to get the white strings. It's more expensive to buy tcheles. So a person who doesn't wear the white strings, we say to such a person, it's not even expensive, sisters. What's your problem? Why would you give up such a mitzvah? Tcheles, Hashem says, okay, I'm still going to punish you. But Hashem says, okay, I understand. It's expensive, it's harder to find. Okay. I'm not as annoyed that you didn't do tcheles. But I am very annoyed that you didn't. You weren't mekayim lavan, mitzvahs lavan. It's not so hard. Okay, look in the middle of the paragraph, right after the bracket. Sometimes a person does what? Does one aveira b'shtei itim shavos. V'im kol zeh tischalif oncham b'kama alafim b'chinos. You could have a person who, again, both in terms of the reward and in terms of the punishment, depending on the backdrop to the scenario, the reward will be that much greater, or not, and the punishment will be that much greater or not. Everything depends on the degree of struggle and sacrifice. Okay, this is all point number one in Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. But then he says point number two. What's point number two? He writes, Yeah, go to the line that begins, Umizei Yisbonin. Umizei Yisbonin Adam Kama Godla Eichas Ha'onesh Shel Averos Kishi Yisbonin B'Torah Al Pi Din HaMisora Lanu Me'agamara U'Poskim Adheichan Chiyuv Magas. And this is the point I want to focus on, point number two. When we think about halacha, what halacha asks of us, that also helps us to understand the full extent of a penalty. The sacrifices that Hashem is making you, or is asking you to make, tells you, if Hashem says, this is the better of the two choices, apparently, the schar I'm going to get for making that choice, even though it's not easy, or the punishment I'm going to get for making the wrong choice, even though it's really not easy, is apparently worse than the difficulty of making the right choice. What do I mean by that? It's what we spoke about yesterday. Okay, turn the page again. Turn the page. Page Yud Zayin. Yeah, is everyone on page Yud Zayin now? Ata Navo Lavar HaYesod HaSheni Shegila Lanu Rabbi Yisrael Zatzal. Let's learn, let's focus on the second point from Yisrael Salanter. Again, what's his point? His point is that sometimes, if we focus on the halacha, we can gain an appreciation for the value of mitzvos or averos. Okay, third line. Hinei hadin pasuk. This was the case we discussed yesterday. Shepikuach nefesh docha kol haTorah kula chutz mishalosh averos. We know that if your life is in trouble, you can violate any avera with the exception of three. Aval zeh rak kishnogei lepikuach nefesh. Now again, we need to ask, this is a delicate area of halacha, so I'm not saying anything halacha l'maisa. We're learning it just to gain an appreciation and to meditate upon these ideas. But he says, we know that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos, right? For example. Aval mishum sakalas aver o evarim, but if God forbid a person faces the fear of losing a limb, asr lavor isur daraisa, you're not allowed to violate an isur daraisa, and it's machlok as a poskim with regard to an isur darabanan. Losing a limb. Imagine losing a limb. Imagine the pain of that. And yet, what the Torah is telling us, what Halacha is informing us, is that Shabbos is greater than that. That better to have Shabbos than to have an arm for the rest of your life. Now that was the example I gave you yesterday. Want to hear the real example that he gives? It's much more frightening. He writes in the second paragraph, Lefizeh, let's take the following mashal. And again, as a great Baal Musar, you have to meditate on these ideas. Imagine a person who has chole einayim, who has some illness with his eyes. And the doctors say to him that if you don't take the following medicine, if you don't take the following course of action, you are going to be blind for the rest of your life. Says Rav David Krungles, where it's underlined, Ha'efshar lanu litzayer ulesha'er godel hatzar v'yisurin shekol yimei chayav v'aveda ha'gadol b'ibur ma'or einav. Can you imagine how painful that's going to be for this person for the rest of his life? To go without eyesight, to be blind for the rest of his life. You know how painful that is? And yet, the Torah is telling you, as unfathomable as that is, and again, if this piece of Torah that we're learning can get us to feel a little something, if we're squirming in our seat, that's already a good sign. That's a sign of my Yiras Shamayim coming back. Apparently, the halacha is telling us this is a good trade. He says, the bottom paragraph, Nisbani na'od, ha'nisayon ha'gadol shilafanov, ha'mesiras nefesh, ha'nachut alamud b'nisayon zeh. Think about what it's going to take for him to make that choice, to not violate halacha in that moment. His gabrus ha'yetzer shal avas atzmo. He has to overcome the love that he has for himself, for his very being. Ha'pachar ha'gadol milos chayisuma, the fear of living a life as a blind person. It's why? Terrifying.
Why can't you take the
medicine? Imagine whatever the course of treatment was. Either it meant going to the hospital, or it was an Isra Daraisa in terms of you had to do something as an Isra Daraisa, you had to eat something which was an Isra Daraisa. Okay. Right?
Yeah, I learned that too.
Okay, not talking halacha lemaisa. You have to ask Shilas. But there is a reality that there are some scenarios where the strict letter of the law says an Isra Daraisa cannot be overridden to protect a limb, to protect life again. If your doctor says the only thing that can save your vision is cheeseburgers. Yeah? Again, it's not sakana stafashas. You're gonna live. The doctor says you're not gonna die, but your vision is threatened. And you need to violate this if you need to sleep with this married woman to save your vision.
That one for sure.
That's definitely
not. Okay, obviously not. Right? That's an easy psak. Okay. But chavez is not poshut. This is very not poshut. Hold on to the questions. Forgive. I want to keep going. Turn the page again. Okay? The Ramah in Yerodeh Kufnun Zayin, which we met yesterday, maybe for the first time in our life. Baruch Hashem. Ve'im yuchol lahatzil atzmo b'chol asher lo tzarech litin akol v'lo ya'avor b'lo sasei. A person, we said, for a mitzvah sasei, has to be prepared to spend up to one-fifth. But for a lo sasei, to avoid a lo sasei, now your life's on the line, I can buy my way out, but it's going to cost me everything I own. I'm going to be left nothing with maybe the shirt on my back. Do I have to give away all my money to avoid the lo sasei? The psak on the book is yes, you do. Yes, you do. The kosav al zeh bebir hagra, the makor din zeh. The source of this din is the Mishnah in Shabbos, when your house, God forbid, when one's house, God forbid, is on fire, and the prohibition of extinguishing that fire. So says Rav David Kronglass. Let's think about it again. Go to the middle of the paragraph, the line that begins derabanan. Va'atan is bone namat. Let's think about this a little bit. Mi shenafla dleika bebeisa v'yesh lo sham ruchosh gadol. Imagine, it's not just your house. Imagine you're a rare art collector, and you've got $500 million worth of paintings in your home. And now the whole thing is going to burn to the ground. Can't I just pour a little water on it? Can't Hashem look the other way? This one that's going to cost me $500 million. I'm going to be left with nothing, right? He says in the next line, "Va'omidu liyishar be'erum v'chosar kol." I'm giving up everything. To what? For something, for one malacha on Shabbos? He's painting a picture for us. You're going to have to go door to door, like a beggar. Right? You're thinking, oh, he'll collect insurance. That's not the point. Think that you're not going to be able to collect insurance. Think that you're going to be a poor man. You're going to be literally going around trying to get something to eat. Eating shameful bread for you and your family as you're standing there. Shameful bread. Right? Shameful bread means taking handouts. Right? As opposed to when a person earns it and you feel a greater sense of self. Can we even begin to picture such an Isayon? Can we picture his pain? You say to yourself, what? Would we think he's such a bad guy if he extinguished the fire? What's Hashem going to do? I mean, he's in a very difficult situation, no? You would think that a Kaddish Baruch Hu would. But if the halacha tells you this is what you're supposed to do, that means even if a Kaddish Baruch Hu has Rachmanis on you, the penalty has to be at least as big as what? As this. Right? Otherwise, it makes sense. If Hashem has my best interest in mind, he would tell me to put out the fire and take the smaller penalty. If the punishment for violating Shabbos is less than the pain of watching a house with $500 million of rare art go up in flames, then Hashem would tell you that in that case, the halacha is put out the fire. Take the smaller penalty. The fact that the halacha holds its ground and says don't put out the fire, apparently the onesh is that much more painful than the experience that's happening in real time as he watches his house burn to the ground. Another example that I didn't mention yesterday, the bottom paragraph on page Yud Ches. Ugmar and Ksubis. Imagine the following tragic scenario. Imagine a young woman. She gets married. She gets married. And Nebuch, unfortunately, a terrible tragedy, her husband passes away. Yeah? The Gemara in Ksuba says, what happens if two people say that what? That her husband is dead, and two people say that he's not. Well, now she's an aguna. The girl's 20 years old. The halacha is now imposed upon her that for the rest of her life she's not going to be able to get remarried. She has her whole life ahead of her. It's the most broken situation in the world. And there's nothing we can do. This is the halacha.
This is depressing.
This is the halacha. Don't worry, we're going to end on the positive in 1 second.
Yeah.
Right? If this is the halacha, then apparently it must be that the penalty she would get for violating, for getting married, because of her possible ishus ish status,
would be worse than
that lifetime of suffering. This young woman suffering alone for the rest of her life. The loneliness. He paints the picture again for us. I'll spare you the words because I can see you're very uncomfortable, as rightfully so. But he says, again, she's aguna of the galmuda. She's left in her loneliness, her lonesomeness. She's got her whole life's got ruined. But apparently it didn't. Because apparently it's the better of the two choices. It's the better of the two choices for her. Okay? Let's conclude on a positive note and a simple question, why is this so? So turn to paragraph Tess on the next page. And on the way out, you could either, you know, drop these papers in some nice place and never see them again, or you could file them away and say, you know what, this is actually a really important piece of Torah and I should probably come back to it once in a while and strengthen it. David Kronglas, Mashkiach from Ner Yisrael Zatzal. There's a famous story. I never heard this with my own ears, but I've met people who have. Apparently the shir was recorded. That one time he was giving like a very fiery Musar Shmuz, and it was like a perfectly clear spring day, not a cloud in the sky. And Rav David Kronglas said, like in a moment of like great intense tochach on Musar, he was making a point, and he said, I would call upon the heavens to testify to what I'm saying to you. And they say all of a sudden there was like a crack of thunder in the sky. I know people who were there. They said this happened. And it was like a clear day outside. It wasn't like a rainy day, like just happened to be thundering and like a storm started.
That makes this even all the more so.
But there's a tape. Apparently there was like a recording of this that like you could hear it on the tape. You could hear like this, you know, like when he says like I call upon like Shemayim to like, you know, prove the authenticity of my words, and you hear like this.
It's not like the weather
report.
Where's the
report?
I'm not a snag. Okay, let's go on.
Doesn't it go by miracles like that?
It's not a miracle, it's a crack of thunder.
May ha'on shim ha'noroim ha'koshim ha'marim ha'kol ma'isara, from all of the negative and the pain that we just had to think about. Bein shumina Torah, bein shumidura banan. By the way, that Aguna case that I didn't really explain so well, this case in Ksubas Chaf Beis, because I want to get to other things still, right? It's a case where Dura Banan, she can't get remarried. So Nebuch, this poor girl, stays trapped because of the Rabbanan. Because of a din Rabbanan. Because of a din Rabbanan.
That's so mean.
It's not so mean. It's so nice. It's so nice, but it's not easy.
It's not mean.
No, it's not mean. The starting point of everything is that Hashem created this world because He wants to do good to us and for us. Okay, we're not learning Ksubas Daf Chav Beis right now. I'm telling you, that's the halacha, and it's worth it for it to keep the halacha. It's always worth it for a Jew to keep the halacha. The halacha is the path to the greatest goodness. That doesn't mean it's the easiest path, but big picture, she's trading in. She's trading in 80 years of very difficult living, let's say, for an eternity of unbelievable schar, more than anything we can even begin to imagine. So, in terms of the 80 years that she's going to suffer alone versus her eternity, it's a great trade.
There's a difference between me taking upon myself to sacrifice and then you imposing that on me.
No one's imposing. God imposed it.
No, but there's an afkamina. It's one thing that, I'm extra careful.
Hashem knows reality, and He says this is reality.
He said, you're gonna get it later.
Reality is that Shabbos is more important than every single thing that you own. It's not more important than your life. There is something you own that's more valuable than Shabbos. Your neshama. That's why pikuach nefesh is doche Shabbos. But your $500 million art collection is not as valuable as a single moment on Shabbos.
Why would it be?
So, Chevra, the goal is to take this and flip it around and go have the best Shabbos of your life. Take this piece and have the best Shabbos of your life. Go to shul this Shabbos and be bursting with a love for Shabbos. Because now you know the price tag on Shabbos. That's a big deal. Look, he says the positive side. He says, Nuchal lumod ma godel v'rav hu aschar v'tanug ha'nitzchi al kol ma'isa tov. So if this is the negative side, halach has kama v'kama the positive side. Because we have a rule. It's a tosefta in sota. You see it bolded in front of you. Then mida tova meruva midas pranis 500 times. That Hashem rewards 500 times more than He punishes. Which means whatever we consider the ultimate pain to be, the ultimate reward is 500 times greater than that. Every mitzvah is 500 times as pleasurable as the penalty, as the harshness of the aver, and we've seen how heavy the penalty can be, how difficult the onesh can be. Okay? So now we have to ask ourselves one final question, and that is why is it this way? Such an extreme system. Why did it end up this way? How did it end up this way? Why does it have to be this way? And with this we conclude the bottom paragraph and then turn to the final page. He says, Yesh lis bonin. Yeah? Os yud at the bottom of the page. Yesh lis bonin. Ulechor hu tmu amod. It's very strange. Lama hirba vehiflig Hashem kol kach v'schar v'onesh. Why did Hashem create such an intense system? This is super overwhelming. Why does it have to be this way? Dal kol mashu shel tov schar arin sof, uvad kol mashu ra peronis arin cheker. Why does it have to be? It is. We know it is. That's the title of this piece. The words of David HaMelech. Zid kascha kahare el, mishpatecha tohom rabba. Your tzedek, your justice, the way that you run the world, is kahare el, like mighty mountains. Mishpatecha tohom rabba. And your mishpat is like the great depths. Right? There's nothing in the middle. It's very extreme. It's very high and very low. Why does it have to be that way? Why couldn't there be a more balanced system? And he says the answer is as follows. Venira. Dine yaduo mekuba lanu shiyasod v'shoresh kol schar. Hatovos v'abrachos. Hein begashmias hein v'ruchnias. All good, all reward, whether it's physical reward, spiritual reward, olam hazer reward, olam haba reward. Hakol hu me'aras panav yisparach shemo eleinu. What does it mean to get reward? It means to be connected to Hashem. Reward comes from what? From Hashem shining upon you. And now he quotes a pasuk in Mishle, and then my favorite pasuk in Chumash, maybe. Be'or p'nei melech chayim is the pasuk in Mishle, and ya'er Hashem panav elecha in Birchas Kohan. To me, it's one of my favorite phrases in the Kol Torah Kula. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha. Because the Sfarno says, if Hashem is shining in your world, you have an unbelievable life. And if, God forbid, Hashem doesn't allow His radiance to be perceived, Torah and Mitzvot is the biggest punishment in the world. Like Tzaddikim say, there's no Gan Eden and Gehenna, they're not two separate places. Sechar and Onesh are not two separate things. If you like learning Torah, if you like being connected to Hashem, then going to Olam Haba is the greatest pleasure in the world. It's all the positive spiritual experiences and religious experiences you had in this world just multiplied, right? It's Hashem as your Rebbe instead of your favorite Rebbeim over the course of your lifetime. And the penalty is the opposite. The penalty is that if you don't like Torah and Mitzvos, you don't like being in Shul, you don't enjoy and see value and meaning in it. So guess what? You're going to be stuck in a shir with a broken clock and a Rebbe who thinks that the clock works and the shir never ends. And that's Gehenna. Or it's Gan Eden, depending on your attitude. It's depending on your attitude. So Ye'er Hashem panav elecha. We ask that Hashem should shine His countenance upon us. Because whatever degree we're in the presence of the light of Hashem, we feel reward. Final page. Ki kol ha'yeshuas v'abrachos tluyos rak ba'aras panim. What is reward again? Now he brings us full circle because it's not some cheap prize that you get when you get to the Olam Emes. It's a connection to Hashem. That's what reward is, being connected to Hashem. All positivity comes from connection to Hashem. All negativity comes from Hester Panim, from being disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now he gives the answer to his question. So why is it that everything has to be so extreme? Why can't there be something more in the middle? Because, however, what is reward and what is punishment? Connection to Hashem or disconnect from Hashem? What does that mean? Being connected to Hashem. Is there such a thing as being a little bit connected to Hashem? If you're connected to Hashem, just like Hashem is endless, so guess what? That reward becomes endless. And if you're disconnected from Hashem, right, you've disconnected from the infinite, and therefore the penalty is infinite, is an infinite penalty. He says, that's the answer to my question. Look at the last four lines. And with this we conclude. B'zeh b'turat ha'kushya. D'lama hir b'vihiflig Hashem kol kach b'schar v'onesh. Why did Hashem make it that everything is so extreme in the world of schar and onesh? Dal mashu tov schar b'lisof. Mashu ra peronis ein cheker. Hateira 2, where it's underlined. Dal kol mashu shel hiskarvus v'hizdavgus elav yisbarach. Because what is a little bit of being close to Hashem? That's infinite. A little bit of connection to Hashem is infinite. Ba keneged zeh mashu shel kira v'aras apanim eleinu, aval ha-mashu shelo hu b'ligvul. Hashem's mashu is endless. L'chein aschar hu b'li sof. And therefore the reward for a little bit of connection to Hashem, for one mitzvah carries such a price tag, such a value, because again, it's a taste of the infinite. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the form of a lulav or a shofar or a word of Torah or a word of tefillah. And therefore the avera of disconnecting from Hashem, a disconnecting from the infinite itself, is an infinite crime. A one word of Lashon Hara is so painful. Right? One violation of Shabbos is so painful. One, God forbid, moment of a forbidden marriage, this Gemara in Ksubis, is much more painful than all the pain that this Aguna is going to suffer. The loss of the vision, right? This person's loss of vision is much less painful, again, than that disconnect from the infinite one. So again, it's a heavy piece. It's not an easy piece, but I think it's a really powerful thing to think about in light of the sugya that we've been trying to learn.